Well, the crowd this size, I don't know if I can limit my sermon to 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. It's a blessing to see all of you here this morning. It's not really what it may do for me or even some of our folk who are normally here. It's for you that aren't normally here. We're just so glad that you've responded to the invitation the Spirit has given you and nudged you, and it's a blessing to see. You know, maybe, just maybe, on this great, awesome day that is so often called Easter, the Resurrection Day, just maybe, there may be someone among us here today who's really asking themselves, okay, what difference does this make? I mean, is there more to it than tradition? Is there more to it than just a time to, on this special day, to show up? What draws us into this space? Maybe there may even be someone among us who, well, they've been a part of a congregation, church life all their lives, for decades at least, but you're kind of stuck spiritually and you've wondered, has it really made a difference in my life? Is there a substantive difference, and is there a practical difference in what happens in my life? What about Easter makes that possible if it is? Well, I think it's perfectly all right to ask those kinds of questions. I've been known to ask them myself, sometimes especially on Mondays. These are truly some of the most important questions we can ask, because they are something deep within us, longing for an answer. We started a series of messages several weeks ago whose theme has been the road to renewal. We want, in Riverstone Church, we want a vibrant life. We want a life where the joy and the victory that is known through the resurrection is witnessed in our life. And we experience it. We also see it as a new life that is growing and spreading. And we've been looking at renewal from several vantage points for us, as not only as individuals, but for us as a congregation, as a body of followers of Jesus. Now, there have been reminders placed throughout our facility for that. We had these little, Chris, our office coordinator, administrator, to print up some little posters that say, you know, thrive in 25. That is the prayer we have, is to thrive in 25. And we've been praying for that, as these posters encourage us to do, is to pray for that kind of thriving to take place. And, you know, as I've shared with my congregation so many times, before renewal comes, every time in recorded history, before renewal has come, before God's Spirit has moved in a powerful and in particularly special way, it's always been preceded by prayer, by the people seeking God, by desiring more of Him, by willingness to begin to frame their life in the way that would be consistent and aligned with what God would desire for us. There is a deep longing, and there's still yet a kindled hope to experience that vibrant, fruitful life that Jesus' resurrection makes possible now. Not later, but now. We need what Sergei Bulgakov describes as what he sees a result of resurrection. He says, the Church of Christ is not an institution. I mean, who wants to just belong to an institution, right? There has to be something more. It is not an institution. She is a new life with Christ and in Christ, directed by the Holy Spirit. The light of the resurrection of Christ shines on the church, which is filled with the joy of the resurrection, of triumph over death. The risen Lord lives with us, and our life in the church is a life of mystery in Christ. How many times does he use the word life there? You think he might be trying to make a point? He's talking about this life. He's not talking about some eternal insurance policy about life after death. He is talking about this life. There's something about the resurrection that makes this life, this very real life, in the nitty-gritty of things, different and amazing. You see, what was so startling to those apostles on that first Easter so long ago was when Jesus entered, it had only been 3 days. It was sudden. It was quick. You see, if you go back to the story in John's gospel, there you can go back to the story about his friend's death, his friend Lazarus. And Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. And Jesus showed up at the funeral, and he comforted Lazarus' sister, Martha. She had said, "If only you had been here, my brother might yet be alive." And he says, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" She says, "Yes. My brother will rise again. I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection to come." You see, she, like all faithful Jews, believed in the resurrection. They believed that there would be a general resurrection at the end of all things. So resurrection wasn't something new. I just want to remind you that if you're not familiar with this, maybe when you read the Gospels, Jesus came to several funerals and he ruined every one of them because he raised the deceased from the dead. And too often we hear and we read about, and people try to maybe convince others that the resurrection is about life after death. And they often refer to that as eternal life, the life after death. But friends, as Sergei mentioned moments ago in that reading, he was talking about life now. And Jesus' resurrection was different because it happened shortly. It wasn't at the end of all things. He shows up in the room with those apostles and they're shocked, they're amazed. "You're back? Already?" And scripture records that hundreds of people witnessed that he indeed had bodily risen from the dead. It's doubting Thomas. The guy says, "Oh, I don't believe you." He wasn't there when Jesus showed up to the apostles that morning. And so when they told him about it, he said, "Nah, it can't be. I don't think you know what you're talking about." But he said, when I can put my hand in his pierced side and touch the wounds in his hands, then I believe." Well, a few days later, Jesus showed up again with Thomas there. And the first thing Jesus does is say to Thomas, "Here, Thomas, right here, put your hand where the spear pierced me. put your fingers in the holes where the nails were driven through. And then he did something else, just to quite natural. He says, you know, I'm kind of hungry. You got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of fish, and he ate it. I don't know if y'all know this, but spirits don't normally eat fish. They don't have any need of it. Jesus had bodily risen from the dead. You know, the difference between this kind of resurrection life and the other resurrection life I had mentioned, where Jesus had raised others, you see, they had to face death again. There was a day later when, some day later, when Lazarus died, when the centurion's daughter, who he raised from the dead, died. But Jesus did not. His resurrection was different. And 40 days later, just as we read moments ago in that creed, Jesus ascended to the Father. And that's why Apostle Paul had experienced such a different life after he had met Jesus, that he wrote about the resurrection and what it meant for life. And he did so in at least three different letters he had written to the churches. To the Philippian church, he voiced the desire that I alluded to at the beginning of this message. It's okay, sister, it's all right. I love it, it's okay. So, little sounds of life. Paul wrote, I want to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his, that is Jesus' sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. This is Paul. This is a guy who is writing a very practical letter to a little small church at Philippi, a Roman colony. And Paul was telling him, I want to know the power of the resurrection, how awesome that power is when you think about it. I want to know the power of the resurrection. And he wanted to do so with the expectation that it was not just possible, but indeed it was what God wants for each and every one of us. That he was telling him, he wants it for you. Despite the hardships, despite the sufferings, despite the tremendous difficulties you face in being a Christian in a pagan culture, hear this. You have available to you this radically different life and power. Listen to how he talks about it in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He says, so from now on, because of what Christ has done for us and because he was raised from the dead, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, those who have believed in him, those who have trusted him, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's interesting how Paul, what word he uses to describe that change. It's the same word we get metamorphosis from, a complete transformation. New, different. It's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. So different, you don't recognize the two were ever or could be the same creature. But even more transformative, even more amazing. See, Paul's not talking about a transformation that's all out in the future. He's talking about one that has occurred now, that is now. What happens is, to speak to the question I asked at the first, what difference does it make? Well, here's what happens in their transformation. And we go back to what Paul said about that in Philippians. He says, you know, we share in his sufferings. Well, that's great news, isn't it? We share in sufferings. I'm sure that's exactly what all of us signed up for, right? Well, the difference is we're going to suffer in this life. The question is, what are you going to suffer for? Who are you going to suffer for? Why are you suffering? You see, the difference that it makes is we share and participate, as he says, in his sufferings. That is, we participate in this new kingdom that he has brought with him. And we work with him. That's that sharing part. We work and we participate in the kingdom. And along with that, we get these wonderful characteristics of what this resurrection life brings us. You see, this new life gives us a new nature. A new nature. We're set free from the power of sin. Sin does not need to any longer control us, bind us. We can experience a new life that in every increasing degree, however small those increments are, become like Jesus. And we can experience a life of holiness, a life that enjoys a immediate and complete fellowship with God, a life that doesn't know barriers between us and God, a life of openness where we openly share our life with God. Paul tells us in Romans, but now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, that life with God. And the end result is, yes, eternal life. Well, the second characteristic we find in that resurrection life is that we have a new position. No longer are we separated from God. No longer are we alienated. No, he tells us in Ephesians 2, for he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. You remember back in the Creed, you may probably don't remember it. Yeah, even those who know it probably don't remember. We just said this, that Jesus bodily was ascended and he sat at the right hand of the Father. Well, guess what? We get to sit there with him. Though here in this world of flesh we live, we are in reality a part of Christ's new heavenly kingdom. And that kingdom which he reigns is not the destructive, death-filled kingdom of this world, but one that brings life. One where joy is known. One where relief is known. One where there's a hope known. One of the plagues that this community suffers, this region suffers, is a plague of hopelessness. Well, friends, in Christ we can have hope. We can trust in a great and wonderful future to come. the life with God, knowing his resurrection power gives us, third, a new focus. A new focus. Colossians 3 tells us, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. We can get caught up in this world, in the day-to-day, in the challenges we face, in paying the utility bill, or dealing with pain as some of us older folk are doing. We can get caught up in that, but Paul said, keep your mind on the things above. C.S. Lewis said, if you keep your sights on heaven, then you get all the rest, all the good thrown in. Whereas if you just set your sights on the things of the earth, you miss heaven. You miss Christ. Knowing Christ and participating in life with him in this new resurrection life also gives us a new perspective. Amen. And we see all this stuff around us for what it is. What is it? It's temporary. It's temporary. Becky and I are getting ready to, well, we hope so. I mean, we're in the process of buying another house. It's younger than the current house. That's not the reason we're doing it, but it's going to be the youngest place we've ever lived in. I mean, it's all of 15 years old. It hadn't even had a chance to have its nose wiped yet. But there will come a day when that house, however well it is built, will crumble. It's temporary. Whatever we have built here that's earthly is temporary. It's what we build in that resurrection life that's eternal. When my days as a pastor comes to the end, I'm not worried about things falling apart that I've worked on. You see, because I've invested in people's resurrection life. And whatever has been built up in that is eternal. It cannot be taken away. And that is a whole radically different perspective, isn't it? I mean, we buy insurance because things are temporary. In that resurrection life, you don't worry about insurance. You have this whole different orientation of priorities with this new perspective. Suddenly, things that seem so very important aren't so important anymore. How you spend your time, how you invest yourself and your resources is reordered because of this new perspective. You want to build upon the eternal. It is a radically different thing. It is so radically different that, well, we come to find out that the ultimate question is not, what would you say about Jesus? But we live in a way because we ask the question, what would Jesus say about me? Our culture doesn't get that. Everything's about me in this culture. Burger King, you can have it your way, right? customer service is always about me. But the ultimate question isn't about me. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. And living in fellowship with Him, and living as one of those who are participating with Him in building His kingdom here through investing in other people's lives and touching their lives. It's amazing because you get to see new life spring up. This resurrection life spreads. When I lived in North Carolina, I was a student pastor at a little church out in the country, a little ways from where I was attending school, and it was the highest point of the county, which was significant because there's a lot of hills and rolling country. I mean, you really could see quite a ways there if you could look through the trees. But I had been back to Texas, our home country, the summer before, and I saw on display a package of bluebonnet seeds. Have y'all seen pictures of the bluebonnets in Texas? It wasn't that big of a package, but I knew the evil it would bring. And so I decided that I would plant some bluebonnet seeds there at the church. They had the church in the back east, often you find churches that have their own cemeteries right there. And so I kind of scattered the seed around. I never saw a bluebonnet. They didn't come up that first spring after I had planted them. But a year later, I had the leader, one of the leaders of that church, call me. She and I were very good friends. Her first words to me were kind and dear. She says, "You dog." I said, "Well, what do you mean, Nell? What's going on?" She says, "We got bluebonnet." I said, "Well, how about that?" She says, "Do you know anything about that?" And I said, "Well, I really can't say." You see, and that was just the beginning, because she called me a year later. She says, "You really are a dog." I said, "Why, Nell?" She says, "You know what happens when you cut down blue bonnets? They spray." Well, friends, that resurrection life spreads a whole lot faster and better than a bluebonnet. And it's more beautiful. Last thing I want to share with you about this, one of the characteristics of this resurrection power is because of what you experience in this new life, you have a new passion. We, like Paul, will want above everything else to know Christ. You see, once you get a taste of Christ, once you meet Him, once you really begin to experience Him and spend time with Him and enjoy fellowship with Him, you just want more. And you begin to experience that mighty power that is released in through that relationship as it's worked out in your everyday life. And it's amazing. And because of that, your passion for Him and your passion to share that will just grow, and you'll want others to experience that same kind of love and joy and hope and the confidence that will come with that new life in Christ. Can you imagine a confidence in life? Do you worry a lot about what's coming? Friends, with Christ, this resurrection life, there's no need to worry. You're confident that He walks with you. John was talking about it in one of his letters to the church, and he said, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." You win, folks. It's already been won for you. Here are moments we're going to raise our voices together in one last song of celebration that talks about this resurrection life that God in Christ has given us, offers us, and wants us to participate in. And in this song, we're going to be singing, it's an old song. One that a guy named Charles Wesley wrote. And I think it kind of captures the essence of what I've been trying to share with you today. This is good news, and the kind of good news that he wanted to share in song. And listen to this lyric, just one line, and the imagery, what he's trying to convey to us. He says, so are we now where Christ has led. Hallelujah. Following our exalted head, just as Christ soared and rose, so can we. Hallelujah. Made like him we rise. Hallelujah. Ours the cross, the grave, and the skies. Hallelujah. Now, he says, made like him. What a life we can go in the life of the resurrection. And because of that life, we all, each and every one, and this body of believers can thrive in 25, and we can thrive in all the years to come, even unto glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.